New federal data shows Washington now holds more than $1.1 trillion in student loans taken out by nearly 40 million people. And that dollar amount, it's up by more than 112% since 2007. But should student debt get blamed for a wide range of economic troubles? Beth Akers says, perhaps not. Akers is a fellow at the Brookings Institution's Brown Center on Education Policy. Beth, what kinds of economic problems are being blamed on student debt?
Oh, gosh, a whole host of things here. A lot of the narrative is about how student loan debt is potentially creating a huge drag on the economy through reduced consumption. A lot of that is coming through what's happening with home purchasing among young households.
So depressed home ownership is getting blamed, and lower rates of entrepreneurship as well.
Yeah, so that's part of the narrative as well. People are also imagining that there may be a relationship with household formation. People are staying in their family homes longer, which is really a separate issue even from the home purchasing issue, but that just co-residing with parents and then maybe even delaying their own family formation in terms of marriage and having their own children.
So a lot of blame being aimed at student debt, but in a sense kind of a scapegoat, as you say in your paper, for nearly all that ails the U.S. economy. Why do you believe, and why do you say it's hard to back that blame up?
Sure. So, you know, this is a really difficult question to answer, like so many in social policy, because really we want to know what would be the outcome if we didn't have this debt, right? So we're looking at a counterfactual that we just absolutely can never measure. And so we have to be really sophisticated in the way we think about measuring these effects. The sort of simple way to do it, and really the only thing we can do when we can't run experiments, is to look at how do people with debt compare to people without debt. The problem with that, as is the problem all the time in these types of research questions, is that people who don't have debt for a reason. And that's that they look very different on a number of dimensions from the people who end up with debt. So when we compare across those two groups of households or two groups of individuals, we see very different outcomes. Some of that may be due to the fact that one group has student loan debt and the other doesn't. But the difference in outcomes are probably due to a lot of the other differences between these groups. For instance, you'd expect students from very wealthy households not to take on student loan debt and from less wealthy households to take on student loan debt. So the fact that these two groups have differences in outcomes in terms of when they purchase their homes is sort of not a surprising thing. And since we can't completely control for all the differences between these two populations, it makes it very, very challenging to really pin down what is the effect that student loan debt is having. So we're having a lot of discussions based on some preliminary analysis, and my fear is that we've really overstated the evidence that we have to draw this conclusion that debt is dragging down the economy, and sort of overlooked the fact that debt is also a tool that's allowed people to obtain a lot more education than they would have otherwise.
So we tend to perhaps not focus on the positive side of the student loan issue, as opposed to focusing very intensely on all these problems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, really what we want to know is what is the net effect of this debt, right? The positive comes from the fact that it enables people to access more education, which leads to a greater investment in education on a national level and really leads to increase in domestic production. We have greater GDP because of all this investment. Are there effects on the other end and that people have less cash to spend? You know, potentially people bear a psychic cost of carrying this debt and that causes them to reduce consumption. And those are real effects as well, but it all needs to be calculated together to understand the effect. And you're right, people are really emphasizing the cost, but not the benefits of student loan debt.
It seems like to try to back up all of this and do this in the right scientific way, as you said, we need to have a control for these differences. It might be impossible. I mean, if we're talking about a 25-year-old who's graduating with a large amount of debt, who knows how that college education and that debt are going to impact their entire lives?
It's a very difficult question to answer. Social scientists have a set of tools that they can use to sort of tease out these effects in a way that gets at the causal relationship a little bit better than some of the research that we've been looking at so far on this question. People are really just starting to talk about this in the research community. I think we're going to see an emergence of some new work in this area. I'm hoping that it will have a little bit more robust evidence that can bring to bear on this discussion.
Beth Akers is a fellow in the Brookings Institution's Brown Center on Public Policy. In her recent piece on the Brown Center chalkboard is entitled Why Easing Education Debt Won't Necessarily Help the Economy. With that title in mind, Beth, we say it won't necessarily help the economy, but could it help the economy to ease education debt?
So it's my opinion that we do have a very large positive effect coming out of student debt in the sense that it is enabling higher investment in education. And so we see that people on average are coming out ahead in terms of lifetime incomes because of, they've taken on this debt. My question is, you know, in terms of the negative side of debt, is what is it causing people to do in terms of the psychological response? So, you know, we can see empirically that people have more than enough income to offset the increases in debt that they've taken on, but that doesn't rule out the case that people are potentially acting differently than they would if they didn't have this debt. That has nothing to do with the financial constraints that are imposed by the debt. So to me, this is going to be the really interesting question moving forward. It's what is the psychological burden of carrying debt over a long period of time, and how does that play into policy formation in this area?
Beth, in your piece, you write, and I'll quote, debt relief amounts to a transfer of wealth from one group to another, which means that while one group benefits, another pays the price. Who would pay the price if student debt is relieved?
So it depends, of course, how this is financed. The most obvious way is to raise taxes. And so we have a very complex tax code. It's not immediately obvious who's paying the price here. But what we can say pretty clearly is who would benefit from this. And if you look at the population of people with student loan debt, it's actually the more affluent people who have more debt. And this is somewhat surprising, but not if you think twice about it, because it's the folks who invest a lot in education who have a lot of student loan debt. And these people also have, on average, higher earnings because of that education. So if we're going to raise the money to pay for debt relief through taxes, we're transferring money from the more well-off population who pay more taxes to a relatively well-off population who have student loan debt. So that's not to say that there aren't people who, you know, should be receiving these transfers, but you know, just taking a look at the population of people with student loan debt and identifying them as a needy population is really the wrong calculation.
What does this piece of yours, what do you think it says to students and to the parents who are paying for that college or university education, whether they're writing checks or they're taking out loans or a mix of both? What do I take away from your piece?
I think what some folks should take away from this, the narrative about debt being a problem, being a crisis situation, has really sort of overwhelmed the public discussion about debt. You know, I often hear people upset about their debt situation, even though they are someone who has really benefited from the access of, you know, of this credit. So I think what it does is really allows people to think of the decision to take on debt and to pay for their education in a different framework. And so recognizing those benefits as well as those costs may people have a sort of a different tone when it comes to this.
So am I hearing you say perhaps don't fear student debt as much as we think we fear it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really big concern of mine. You know, we've built up this very negative narrative about student loan debt. We know that there are certain populations of students who don't go to college because they have fear about debt. And by continuing to talk about it in this negative light, we're only exacerbating that problem. So we want people to be cognizant of the trade-offs they make when they take on debt, but we don't want people to be afraid of it in a way that's not justified.
Beth Akers is a fellow in the Brookings Institution's Brown Center on Public Policy. She focuses on the economics of education, and her piece for the Brown Center Chalkboard on their website is Why Easing Education Debt Won't Necessarily Help the Economy. Thank you so much for talking with us, Beth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Shelley Manis will tell you she's a hard worker. She works 60 to 80 hours per week as a lecturer at the University of Michigan's Sweetland Center for Writing. She also spends her time helping local theaters develop plays. And the first time she took a vacation in the past 14 years happened this summer. Manis is also in debt for her student loans to the tune of $180,000. After undergraduate school, she worked for several years in the publishing industry, but she felt like she wasn't learning anymore, so she pursued a master's in dramatic literature and then a PhD in theater history.
By the time I left the PhD, I had about $160,000 in debt, but because the payment plan is so impossible for the amount that I have, I now have $180,000, and that last $20,000 is probably all interest. I think about money every single day. There's not And multiple times a day, actually. There are days when I'm afraid to look at my bank account. There are days when I'm already thinking ahead about, oh, I need to contact the federal loan people again and let them know I still can't do this and try to figure something out. Every day.
Manus says the psychological burden of long-term debt is huge.
It feels almost like a bigger price than the actual price tag in a lot of ways. I'm 39 years old. I'm highly educated. I'm capable. I work really hard. I have no savings. If an emergency were to happen, thank goodness I have my parents who now can say, okay, we'll jump in and help. But I resent that. I resent it. I feel ashamed of it. I feel like I'm less than, and it's really upsetting on a daily basis.
Manus said she understood the debt would take a long time to pay off, and she knew she was entering a tough job market. But she figured she'd graduated from one of the top programs in her field and thought she would get a tenured position and be able to quickly begin paying off her loans. But that has not been the case.
The one thing that I would want listeners to know is that most people who have a really large amount or any amount of student debt are not people who are wasting time. They are not people who are lazy, and they are not people who don't want to pay the debt back, but there aren't easy enough ways to do it. You can fall between the cracks so easily. I think it's just impossible.
Recent developments in Washington could help people like Shelley Manus pay off their loans. She qualifies for a student loan forgiveness program. That means if she works for a public institution for 10 years and makes her payments on time, her loans will be forgiven. If not, Manus expects she'll be paying back her student loans for the rest of her life.